Hello and welcome to Bricks and Mortar with Sarah Jackman. Today I'm joined by Lucy Windsor, Head of Acquisitions at Pret & Manger. Lucy took the apprenticeship route into the profession and graduated from her diploma in surveying practice in 2009 at the height of the last recession. She joins me today for a look at how she found the profession during that time, the lasting effect of the financial crash on the industry, and how she went on to develop her own career in spite of it. Lucy, many thanks for joining me today. Tell me first, how did you become interested in real estate as a career?
Thanks for having me, Sarah. Well, unlike most, and I say this, the sort of typical route is that there's often a family member that's involved in real estate, and particularly with surveying, but that wasn't my background. And just at school, geography was my subject. I was a real geography geek, and I knew I wanted to work in that field, but I wasn't really sure what job roles were available. So I had a very astute and good careers advisor who suggested to me that I might want to go and work for a local firm doing a bit of work experience. I just fell in love with it and realised that's definitely the route I wanted to take.
So how old were you then when you got that introduction?
I was 16, very young. Funny enough, the two bits of work experience I did was working at the Kent Wildlife Trust to see whether or not I wanted to go into conservation, mm-hmm. and then to work with a company called Maltbys in Gravesend. And it was some of the sort of things that people make jokes at. I was colouring in goad plans and things like that, but equally they got me all out and about. So they shipped me off down to the coast to look at a development site, and I, at 16, 17, I just couldn't believe I was being exposed to it. So it definitely gave me that enthusiasm that I needed to pick up the mantle and run with real estate.
And so once you'd had that first initial taste of it and you thought, okay, this is the career for me, how did you go about taking your first steps into it?
Being frank, Google. Mr. Google became my best friend. I was really conscious that most of my peers at school were doing degrees that were quite generic. I was quite daunted by the prospect of doing something so specific as a real estate degree to start with when it was all quite new to me, and because I didn't know anyone that did surveying beforehand. So I came across something called the Chartered Surveyors Training Trust, and they were providing apprenticeships to, at that point, people that were considered to be disadvantaged or minorities in surveying. And because I was female and from the part of Kent that I'm in, there's not that many people that go into that level of white collar profession. So I gave them a ring, they chatted me through the process, and then next thing I knew, I was on one of their apprenticeship assessment days.
So you felt then that the apprenticeship route would be right for you, and that would suit you in terms of getting that first step into the profession?
Yeah, I thought it would give me a good exposure. I mean, there's always the element that you know you're going to get paid for it. I did also think that actually it was a good sort of toe in the water to see whether or not I was good at it, whether it's not I wanted to do. And it was a bit of a taste of that, rather than being sort of stuck with a 3-year full-time degree and not necessarily coming anything out of it, at least I got exposure to the world and worked out what part of property I wanted to work in. But it just so happened that it suited me absolutely down to the ground, and I never looked back.
And what was the exposure that you had to property then? You mentioned a taste of various things and helping you to sort of work out whether you liked it or not. I mean, what sort of thing were you privy to, or did you have exposure to over that period?
I was really fortunate in that I worked with some fantastic people that had themselves been apprentices. So there was a gentleman called Tony Meir, who still works as a chartered surveyor now, and he knew that how valuable the apprenticeship route could be. So him and a lot of the senior partners at the firm I worked with were really keen to get me out and about. And I think every time I managed to complete a task or take on an extra bit of responsibility, they just gave me more and more and more. So I shadowed Tony, who was as a court expert and an independent expert, which, you know, was so enthralling for a 17-year-old to be flung into a professional environment and then given the opportunity to work alongside court cases, agency as well, doing a bit of commercial property agency, and then understanding how the valuation model work and this whole new world that I didn't even know existed. And I remember joking to my friends at the time that all that maths at school that you learn, like trigonometry and differentiation, that you never think you're going to need to learn, surveying, it turns out, is where you use it. So I really liked that I had immediately had a practical means to be using that stuff that we had learned at school in real life.
And how did you find the practicalities of studying alongside working? Was it challenging?
Yeah, it was really challenging. I think coming straight out of a school environment, I was probably better prepared to it than perhaps if I'd gone into it as a more mature student. but certainly being flung into a working life and working 9 to 5, much longer than the school days, as well as working evenings and weekends, it was really hard. But I think there was a much bigger sense of satisfaction than I'd ever had in an academic world previously. And again, I was fortunate enough that the company I was working for really did support me. And I think they saw that I loved the profession, and they gave me all the help in the world that I needed.
And you graduated then from your diploma in surveying practice in 2009. How was the jobs market at that time? It was obviously just coming off the back of the financial crash.
From my memory, to be frank, there wasn't one. It was still very much finding out people that had been on my course that no longer had jobs, people's firms had gone under. It was really turbulent, and it was certainly quite daunting for me as an apprentice that had recently sort of gone through the course structure. I was lucky to have my job now, but there didn't seem to be any obvious stepping stones to go forward. So yeah, it was really tough, particularly when you've got peers that are still at university and you're in the job market. It's really difficult to keep a sense of perspective sometimes and work out that in the long term, this is the right decision. But it was very difficult. And I certainly remember it did affect my mental health quite greatly as well, because you're very conscious that you don't want to lose that skill set that you've built up, but it's completely beyond your control. So yeah, you have to look after yourself and look after your colleagues as well.
Yeah. And how did it affect the type of work that you were doing? Did it change the type of work that came across your desk?
Definitely. I became the master of sort of jack of all trades, master of some is probably how I would have worded it. It was fantastic, though. I mean, I was quite excited to be involved in such a range and a breadth of work. And it's only now when I look back do I realise that it really did set me up. I mean, I was fortunate enough. We valued a 15th century convent. The nuns were still in situ. We looked at a marina. We looked at rentalising an old sail loft for a university. You know, it really was a random spectrum of work. But I didn't think that in years to come I could sort of say, well, I was an expert for heritage valuations for convents, because I didn't think that would be a skill that I necessarily need. I suppose at the time I just enjoyed it, and I loved doing what I was doing, and it didn't really think to me that it was so eclectic, but it seems so obvious now that I suppose my willingness to give anything a go was a sort of feather in my cap.
I know you mentioned previously when we last spoke that during that period of downturn in 2008 and 2009, as a result of that, there was a sort of noticeable effect on the peer group and the number of people going into the profession. Can you talk me through that and what you feel was the lasting effect of that?
Yeah, it was quite noticeable. Most of us that were on the course, a correspondence course that I was doing at a time, you know, you had to be employed to do it. And there was measures that were put in place to give people experience, effectively working pro bono, but a lot of people didn't complete the course. There was a lot of people that managed to get enough work experience to finish it, but there was no job at the end. And with no short or medium term prospects of getting a new job, they had to look elsewhere. So a lot of people became geography teachers, two or three actually. Some people went overseas. There was a big drive for people to go across to the Middle East. And certainly in my own company at the time as well, there was a lot of people that went to Dubai and the Emirates States to pick up work where you didn't necessarily need such a high degree base to work on it. And there was others just dropped out entirely. And it was really sad, because when I started on my course, and particularly on the apprenticeship side of it, there was 30 or 40 of us. And at the very end, in terms of just the real estate, there was four of us that came out still being employed and having finished the course, which was remarkably sad, because they were all really passionate individuals that were really good at what they were doing. And a lot of them now have gone back to work in the profession and stuff, but there was still that missing gap of a couple of years. And I do think it's impacted on the profession. Certainly as I got a bit older and I was in that sort of associate partner grouping, I think it's really noticeable that there's not those 20, 30 somethings that were up and coming to fill those jobs now. And I think that will translate into, you know, in the future, there aren't the 30, 40 somethings people out there as there was to fill the directorship roles and the senior property members. And I just really hope that this pandemic as it is doesn't result in the same skills gap and the sort of repetition again, where we've got less young people, less eclectic people coming in the industry. And it doesn't mean that we're sort of retrenched back to the sort of more old school way of doing property as we sort of moved away from.
How do you think that the industry can work to prevent that happening this time around and retain that talent?
I think we need to be a lot more honest with ourselves as well, in terms of everyone's situation's different and everyone's working life balance is different. The one thing the pandemic has taught us is that we don't need traditional 9-to-5 sitting in an office. People can be really flexible. And the industry's gone a great way to be flexible for mums coming back, for different minorities that have got different nuances into the way they need to work, for people that are disabled or less able-bodied. We've made great strides, but it's in no way near enough. And I'm hoping that the ways of working that we've learned in this pandemic will stay. I mean, I'm speaking to you from home. I've not been back to our office. I'm a carer for someone that's shielding, and it's really important to me that my company continues to support me in doing that, both in the short term and the long term. And I hope for, you know, kind conversations like that might mean that we can retain some of the people that would otherwise be lost from really stringent working platforms.
I'm just thinking then about the next steps in your career, market when you graduated that time around. Did it feel appreciably different?
Yeah, it did. It definitely did. We were sort of a bit more in the swing of things then. There was no black clouds looming. There was nothing that was seemed to be on the horizon that was going to sort of take the profession down in the way that it had done in the recession. And certainly it was optimistic. So yeah, it did feel different, and it felt very much like I'd got one recession under my belt. It felt like all the other sort of partners that sort of talked about in the 80s and the 90s and now this one as well, I felt like I'd got one, I've got an experience, and I made my way through it, and that should set me up. And I didn't expect to be derailed perhaps again quite so quickly as we have done with this pandemic and it impacting on the industry like it has done.
Do you think there are lessons that you picked up on a personal level from last time around that you would apply to your approach and to your work this time around, do you think?
Definitely. I don't think a lot of them were conscious approaches at the time, but certainly now they will be so. I think one of the best bits of advice I can really give is to try and stay authentic throughout whatever you're going through. Some of the best leaders I've ever worked for, Clive Schley and Pano Cristo at Pressure Manger, are two perfect examples in that they've never been frightened to be vulnerable, never been frightened to be themselves in the workplace. And I think when times are really tough like this and you're struggling at home and you might be struggling at work as well for thousands of different reasons, I think it's really important to bring yourself to work a little bit. And it is tough and you do have to have a professional edge, but I think those people that are struggling to think what future might be there for them in the industry, if they are looking at redundancy or shortening of hours, etc., it's just to make sure you put your own spark on things and make sure you remain you, and don't become a robot. Don't become what you think the job descriptions require when you're applying for jobs. Just keep an element of yourself, because that's what keeps you fresh and alive, and that's what the industry needs. It's more characters. We need more different people, and that's what's going to keep the UK property industry alive.
Just thinking then of when you moved on from your first employer in 2012 and you then moved on to Savills. What was it like moving from a big property company to an entirely different business where you are now, where property forms a part? What was the transition like, and what do you think you've gained from it by way of skills?
It was a huge jump. I think going from effectively two multidisciplinary private practice where I was doing a job for a client to becoming that client at both Pret a Manger and then when I moved on to Audi as well, it was really different. And it took me a long time to get into the mindset that the decision sat with me. And that was something really difficult to get used to, not deferring to someone else. And also just changing your mindset slightly, in that you learn about practice and you've got textbooks and, you know, the law and this is how you do evaluation, this is how you rent a large property. But when it comes down to it, you have to take on the mindset of an occupier and work out what works for you, what works for us. So being part of an operationally fronting business was really different, and putting proper property into practice was something that took me a really long time to learn to do, because it might say we should do X, Y, Z in the textbook. But when it comes down to it, the occupier and, you know, the ops manager is telling you that they can only trade on these hours and they can afford to pay rent on that storage unit over there. And it's such a dynamic way of working, and one that I absolutely love. I quite often talk about the fact that I was poacher turned gamekeeper, and I'm very much staying this side of the fence now, in that I think once you become part of a business and you can see the outcome of the work you've worked on, it's something that I wouldn't change for the world.
You feel then that having much more autonomy over the property decisions, that's something that really suits you, and working much more autonomously.
Definitely. It's daunting. I think no matter what level you get to, if you're a graduate, associate, partner, director, I think the autonomy when you're part of a business where you're the retailer, you're the client, is something that wears really heavily on you. You know, the fact that you impact other jobs. And I mean, that's something that's particularly pertinent today as we talk. Obviously, I work for Pret a Manger, and it's been released in the press that we are having to let go a number of stores. And that store closure is something that weighs so heavily on me, because it's your property decision making that has been part of that process. And it's not just about a piece of paper and a report. It's about lives. It's about people. You know, you really do impact across a whole spectrum. And you realise the weight of your decision making. So it is really daunting sometimes, and no more so than now. But you also realise that the importance of quality decision making, and the importance of being a property professional as well. Everyone needs a roof over their head, whether it be a shop or a house. And it's a really proud profession to be part of, albeit difficult at the moment.
And having worked through a recessionary period and seen peers take different paths, what advice do you think you would have for those people currently looking to secure placements or jobs, or, you know, get exposure to the industry in some way?
There aren't that many, and there won't be that many opportunities for people out there. I think people do have to face up to that at the moment, that the retail world, the property world, the commercial world, it's tough, and it's going to be tough out there for a long time. So I think you need to be honest with yourselves and pragmatic that opportunities won't fall at your feet. But you can be dynamic and find other ways of increasing your profile, of increasing your reach. Every occupier at the moment, every business will have some form of property exposure they're going to need assistance with. So working within insurances and working within your means in terms of professional qualifications, you know, there's loads of people out there that need advice at the moment. Charities, small businesses, hairdressers, you know, they've only just reopened. They've been paying rent for all this time. There's loads of opportunity to use your skill set to really help. So actually help yourself by helping others is one thing I would say. Be dynamic, go out there, see who you can help with at this difficult time, so that we can all weather the storm and get through it together.
And what advice do you have for people about studying remotely, and perhaps for those students at the moment, it's particularly pertinent, who perhaps find themselves moving from face-to-face learning to remote access? What can they do to really make the most of that?
Oh, that's tough. To go from face-to-face to a computer screen is really difficult. I would say make sure you always check in. Don't be frightened to ask questions. It can be really easy, and I say this having great experience in it, it can be really easy to think you understand a point and go down a bit of a rabbit warren to only find out 2 months later in an exam you've completely missed the point. So don't do what I did when it came to discounted cash flows, because it's something that will haunt me forever. So to make sure you ask your peers, tutors, people you work with, you know, get in contact with someone on LinkedIn. I've had students from the University of College of State Management that have sent me emails asking me for help. You know, do that. Be selfish. Make sure you use all the means that you've got to get through this and get the best grade that you've got. But it is hard, and just acknowledge that as well, that it's a really difficult form of learning. So make sure you're kind to yourself. Make sure you go on long walks, do a bit of exercise, maybe have a glass of red wine on a Friday night, and keep happy as well as working hard.
Lucy, that's a really positive note to end on. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on the industry with me today.
Absolute pleasure.
That was Bricks and Mortar from EG with Sarah Jackman. For more information on developing a career in real estate, see the archive of the Bricks and Mortar series at podbean.com and the EGI archive at egi.co.uk.